excited morning for me. I was debating, should I catch the 6 o'clock ferry to make sure I'm there on time? Or no, 8 o'clock, that's plenty of time. But of course, that was a Sunday where our ferry was 40 minutes late. And so I missed this earlier ferry here by 5 minutes. But it's exciting to come in here and see how God is working in and among you and how he's reaching out through you to the ends of the world. And I'm excited to be here. Most of you know me. I've been here a year ago, and I work at Cape Rio on Theaters Island at a Bible school. And I have a wife and 2 children that didn't come this morning with me. They're in church back in Duncan. And it's a privilege to be with you again. The things that I want to talk about this morning is about the Word of God. I think lots of us find it easy to be active for God, to go into activities like doing shoeboxes or putting on in a community event or whatever. That's very easy. But those fundamental things like talking to God or being in His Word can many times become boring or tedious or however you want to call it. So looking in Hebrews where it says, you know, that the Word of God is living and active. And I looked at the contrast. How is it many times in our life? Is it dull or boring? Or is it living and active? And so this morning I want to just talk about it for a little bit. And actually we'll have you share later on too, at the end of the service, of what practically do you do to make it active? What have you done? There's maybe things that maybe would help one another to kind of grow in that area. And so we'll have that towards the end. I'm just going to open up in a word of prayer and then we'll dig in. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for speaking to us, for your Holy Spirit living inside of each one of us who has accepted you as our Savior and Lord. Thank you that you've given us your written word. There's so many countries in this world today who are not free to read it, who don't have even it translated in our own language. But we live in this privileged place where we can read it, where we have your spirit to understand it. And I pray this morning, Father, that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, that I would get out of the way of things that might not need to be said. And that at the end of the day, all that's important, you would communicate to our hearts. And so thanks for this time and for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, lots of us struggle to be in God's Word. Maybe we're not motivated enough. Maybe we feel like it's not relevant today. It's such an, you know, it's in such an old book, thousands of years old. Maybe some of us struggle to understand it. When you look at the Old Testament, what does it all mean? Or some of us might just think, hey, coming on Sunday to church, that's enough. I don't need to read it the rest of the week. It's, you know, if the pastor says something, that should carry me through the week. But then we read scriptures where, like I said, in Hebrew, it's living and active. Well, if it's living and active, how is it active? Or Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Or he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from my mouth. So do we eat only once a week? No. Normal meals we take 3 times a day at least, right? So how many times do we spend time in God's Word? He says, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and obey it. Of course, we all want to be blessed people, but in order to be blessed, we need to hear God's Word, and then we need to do something with it. We need to obey it. There's one thing of hearing it, but then not to do anything about it. Or Jesus also says, like, if you abide in my Word, you are my disciples. In order to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, we need to abide in his word. He also says, he who keeps my word will never see death. So in order to keep his word, we need to know his word. Another one says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. and each one of us wants to have Jesus, right? To be home in our life, to feel comfortable living with us. But in order for him to do that, if we want to express our love towards Jesus, we need to be in his word. In Romans, it says faith comes from hearing through the word of Christ. And so if faith is what makes us Christians different than anybody else in the world, and if faith makes us active in walking with the Lord, then here it says faith comes from hearing through the word of Christ. So we need to hear the word of Christ. We need to see the promises that he makes us. We see the examples in the Bible, and then it's like, okay, once I see this, I want to put my faith in the same Christ. In Colossians, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Do we do that? It says richly. Like, what do you think of richly dwelling in us? Is it really only like once a week? Is it only, I don't know how you do your Bible reading at home. Is it like quickly, like 5 minutes in the morning, reading a little devotional? Dwell in you richly. I think it's something we need to consider. None of us Christians ever said, oh, I spent too much time reading God's word today, right? I think oftentimes it's the opposite. We feel guilty of not reading his word too much, or oftentimes we only browse God's word quickly to kind of make us feel good and say, oh yeah, I've done my devotions this morning. But if I was to ask you 2 hours later, what did you read this morning? We probably wouldn't remember anymore, right? That's how oftentimes I think we walk this Bible reading time, you know? And then I was reading even to the Psalms again. In Psalm 119, it's a very good psalm for you to even later on to read sometime, and it talks about how the psalmist is meditating on God's word. Psalm 119, verse 97, it says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. So he doesn't just say, oh, you know, I'm going to read it for 5 minutes in the morning. He said, I meditated on it. Like, I'm considering it. I'm going to have it with me. Think about it. Verse 15, the same chapter, it says, Psalm 119, verse 15, it's like, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word. He's meditating. When you meditate something, it means you're kind of constantly pondering. You have it in your mind. But that oftentimes doesn't sound like me. So my question is, like, why do we struggle so much prioritizing being in his word? Why is it oftentimes so dull and boring? I have three suggestions that I want to share this morning. There probably is more out there. But one is that we don't depend on him when we're in his word. My favorite Bible verse is in John 15, verse 5, when Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And I try to apply that to all areas in my life. I'm a maintenance guy. I work at a Bible school. Of course, can I mow lawns without Jesus? Of course, can I fix a broken dishwasher or whatever it is? But things of eternal value, we cannot do without him. And so coming to reading his word, I can totally see it, that without him, I can do nothing. Because I can read the Bible like I read any textbook in school, or I read the newspaper, and it won't do anything to me. But when I read his word, depending on him, like the vine, the branches in the vine, then he will make it alive by his Holy Spirit living inside of us. So the Bible is not just a textbook, or, you know, it's ink on paper like you would read it or see anywhere else. But it takes his Holy Spirit living inside of us to make it alive. Because it's his divine word that takes his divine Holy Spirit to make it applicable and practical in our daily life, and to make it active. So the first thing is we need to depend on him. So when you go in the morning or whenever you do your Bible reading, it's like, don't just open and say, oh, now I'm going to please God by reading his Bible. Say, no, God, I want to seek you. I want you to show me today what I can live out, what it means to me. You need to be the interpreter of his word. The second reason why I think his word is maybe boring and dull is that we don't live out what we already know. That we don't enter this exciting journey that God offers us. And that in Hebrews 4, verse 2, it talks about the Jews who had the same problem. They said, for we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. So if you don't put faith to what we read in God's word, if you don't live it out, see God in it, it's of no value. The Jews, they were reading the Bible. Most of them, they can drive a nail through the page, through the first page, and then tell you on every following page what word is actually written on it. That's how diligently they are in the word. But if they do not put faith to what they know, then it's useless. Jesus wants us to have active faith. He doesn't just want us to say, oh yeah, I believe in God, but he's like, what does it look like actively? And if we don't combine what we know in here with active faith, it's useless. I mean, you, for example, you can, right now you're actually exercising faith by sitting in a chair, because you actually have faith that the chair will hold your weight, right? But as long as you just stand beside the chair and say, oh, I believe that the chair is going to hold me, because it tells me in the instruction manual, but you just stand beside it and don't actively put your faith in it, the chair can do nothing for you. And it's the same thing with God. We can know a lot about God, that he's faithful, that he's a provider, that he has good plans for you. But if you don't put your faith actively in him, day by day in the little things, then it's going to be useless. A positive example is in Matthew 8. There was a centurion, so he was a non-Jew, and he had a servant who was paralyzed and in terrible suffering. And so he had heard that Jesus is around, and he came running to him. It said, the centurion said, Lord, Lord, I do not deserve you to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished. He said to those following him, I tell the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the kingdom of heaven. But the subject of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then he said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at the very hour. So the centurion believed in God. He came to him. He knew exactly what Jesus was able to do. And he didn't even say to Jesus, hey, come with me and heal my servant. He said, Jesus, if you just speak the word, I believe that you can do it. And so he goes home. And he has an active faith where God could actually do something in his life. Because if you don't come to him with faith, you won't be able to do things in our life. So the second reason, again, is that we need to live out. We need to put our faith in him, not just read the Bible and saying, oh yeah, it's all good, but we actually need to believe in it. What does it mean day to day? And then the third reason is that we don't understand the purpose of why we're actually reading the Bible. It's not to please God or saying, oh, today I get my brownie points because I read 20 minutes his word. But the reason we read his word is to come to know Jesus. In John 5, 38 to 40, Jesus is challenging the Pharisees, who were very diligent in reading his word, but they totally missed the point. John 5:38, it says, "You've never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." The reason we read his word is because we need to come to him. The Pharisees were over and over, they spent days in his word. They were trying to find things out. They argued, they philosophized, they met in the temple. They discussed about it, but they totally missed the boat why they were doing it. Jesus said, "You need to come to me." Good example, maybe to make it more practical, is it's like this Christmas time, my wife and I were going to fly with our kids to Europe. I'm originally from Germany. My wife's from Northern Ireland. And so we saved our holidays to see the family this year. And of course, right now, we have booked our tickets. We have the paper in our hand, and I can look over and over at the paper, and I can tell everybody when my flight is going and where I stop and what time I might arrive and all those things. But unless I'm going to go to the airport with that ticket and step into the plane, that paper ticket will do nothing for me. And so we need to, the same thing in this word, we can look at this word and discuss about it, argue with our neighbors or whatever, or have Bible studies. But if we don't come to him and abide in him and have life from him, reading his word will be useless. Because Jesus is the one that we need to come to, because Jesus is the one who is giving us life, who gives us eternal life. In 1 John 5, it says, "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And so the eternal life does not come from reading his word. It's coming from Jesus. The word is only to direct us to him. And in John 17:3 says, "Like this is eternal life, that they may know me." Okay, and so knowing Jesus is what gives us eternal life. And the way we can get to know Jesus is by reading the word and trying to see where Jesus is in there. Where is he hidden? Like even Old Testament, which can many times can be boring. Where Old Testament is that Jesus in there? But it's interesting to know that even the Old Testament points always to Jesus. Like even Jesus, after he rose from the dead and he walked on the road to Emmaus, and the two disciples were there, and you know, Jesus kind of walks alongside them and kind of asks them what happened and why they're so sad. And as he's concerning himself, he talked about in the Old Testament, he says he walked with them and he said, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." So even in Genesis or Leviticus, a book full of laws, where he said, "Oh, that's kind of boring." No, in there, Jesus is hidden. When he calls the first disciples, one of the first ones was Nathanael, and he goes to his brother and says, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and about the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And so his work becomes alive when we know Old Testament, New Testament is all about Jesus. And then we can just look at all the stories, Old Testament, you know, about Abraham taking up his only son, Isaac, up the mountains, willing to sacrifice him. It's like, oh, that reminds me of another story. Jesus was the one willing to die on the mountain, giving up his life. We can look at the Joseph story. Joseph, you know, by his brothers betrayed, you know, being thrown in prison. And at the end, you know, he ends up being in the highest place that he is actually able to save his own people from the famine. so many scriptures, and you can go through the Old Testament, you can look at all the books like of Ruth, when you look at Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. It's not just a love story, how Ruth, the Gentile, is being saved, but it's about the picture how Christ, our kinsman redeemer, wants to redeem us. We can look at the Psalms, we can look at the prophets, until we come to John's Gospel, where it talks again, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So we're talking again then, the living Word coming alive. In verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So for the written Word to become alive, we need to have a relationship with the living Word, Jesus. And then Jesus explains why he came into the world, to show us what his Father is like, what our Father is like in heaven. So, and then we can read through the Gospels, and then we know, oh, the way Jesus lives, he wants us to live. And then we see what the Father is like, and then we want to be in the same relationship that Jesus was with his Father. And Jesus also says that I by myself can do nothing. In John 5:19, it says, Jesus gave him this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing." That reminds me when I just shared my favorite verse in the beginning, right? When Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing." Jesus lived that very life on earth. He said, I by myself, I can do nothing. I can only do what I see the Father do. And Jesus made himself available to the Father, like he wants you and me to be available to him. Every day, come to him and say, "Jesus, I'm available to you. Use me whatever way you choose." And starting off this relationship, that you know, in the morning, might be to be in his Word, to seek him, have him stand something out to you, and then you say, "That's what I want to live out today." It's not just about you spending your 10, 15 minutes in the morning and then take it off and say, "Oh, I've done my Bible reading," but it's for him to speak to you. Just want to maybe throw it out to you, like, what do you do? We have kind of talked about what might be the reason why we don't read his Word, or maybe found a few reasons what makes it challenging, but what do you do, practically speaking, you know, as an encouragement maybe to one another, to have his Word not be dull and boring? How do you spend your time in the Word? I just kind of want to open this up to you. Yeah? I mean, there's no wrong answers here, right? This is just like, okay, let's just, as a fellowship among believers, how...
But I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. when we realize that verse is a choice, it comes alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joy or love or abundance, whatever the word may be. And then I go into the concordance and mm-hmm. I look up all places in the Bible that talks about joy or love or peace. And so I do it more like letting God open the whole word and bringing it together as a whole rather than just reading a scripture that seems isolated perhaps. And then I never start or do anything without asking the Holy Spirit, who said that he would lead us, guide us into all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So I always start my prayer with that, and my day with that, or my study with that. But I tend to like to isolate a word more so that I can get a broader understanding of just that part.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I do it.
She mentioned something that I was thinking. We've had a couple messages lately. Mary Charlotte shared with us about hearing what the Spirit says to the churches from Revelations. And then our brother George shared about listening to God, and God wants to speak to us. And that has kind of renewed my prayer going into the Word, as our sister just shared. God, you want to speak to me, will you please speak to me? Asking God to bring that living, active Spirit into my body before I start, and to give me ear to hear. That kind of prayerful approach, I've been sort of refreshed in that lately through some of the messages
heard here, and that's helping. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like to share words that God has on my heart or that I'm reading with friends, and the Lord has given me a really cool husband that thinks about things a lot differently than I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dialoguing about it. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even being part of a Bible study, right? A home group or whatever, to meet and to be able then to hold each other accountable. I'm part of a Bible study too. We meet every 2 weeks, so it's not like, oh, here we go again kind of thing. But then to read and then also say, okay, when we meet in 2 weeks, what we heard tonight, do we want actually to live out this next 2 weeks, you know, and then they actually hold each other accountable. When you see each other, even on Sunday, what I was like, hey, this is what happened this week, you know, to give testimony on how the word actually has become practical in your life. So it can be, if you're married or in a family situation, you know, that's great, or Bible study, that's a good way to do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a very bad memory, so I can read something and it's gone before any time. But it always seems to implant something in mm-hmm. mind. It kind of builds up. The interesting thing, I think, is that every time you read something, a passage or a sentence of Bible, a new meaning comes up.
Mm-hmm.
God gives you a new understanding. There's always something fresh.
Yeah.
Even if I've forgotten about what I've read, I can remember that it's something new or
mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a friend of mine also, it's like every day when he reads, he does whatever the main thing stands out to him, he writes it on the top of his day timer. Just that one verse or whatever, you know, because we can feel good about it. Oh, I've read the whole book of Isaiah this morning or whatever, or a whole, you know, whole chapter of a book. And then again, 2 hours later, if I was to ask you, we don't remember. But if there's this one thing, that one nugget that stands out to me, you know, sometimes I write it on my palm of my hand or whatever so that I run across it, you know. It's his faithfulness that will bring it back to our minds, you know, and throughout the day we would come across, or there's somebody we need to encourage with the word that we just read in the morning, right? Yeah?
I have to promote our Tuesday nights. About a year ago, this time, I was gifted with 3 months of time to read the Bible. And I only started reading it. But I became addicted. people need to like read the Bible, not read a verse or study a couple lines, or but actually read the Bible. So we've been doing that Tuesday nights, 6 o'clock, or is it 6:30? Six thirty. 6:30 to 8:00. And over the last, it's been almost a year now, we've gone through the New Testament. We're into Samuel, 2 Samuel we just started. And the interesting part is, like you say, in the, you know, you sit around the table, everyone reads a chapter, or if you don't want to read, you just sit and listen. But the beauty is, and it's written in the Bible very often, you have to hear the word, which almost requires you to read it out loud if you're going to hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you can hear in your mind, you can hear the words that you're reading sometimes, right? And I like to think that maybe that's the Holy Spirit talking to me in my voice when I'm doing that. But when I'm sitting around the table with 2 people or 4 people or 15 people, because that's what we get on Tuesday nights, and you actually listen to different people read the word, different translations of the word, but the message is always God's message.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a lot of discussion after, because there's kind of nothing to say. Like I observed that we in a Bible study, we'll take three verses and we'll read them, and then we'll talk about it for 2 hours. Go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit and read the Bible with a group of believers for an hour and a half, at the end of it, you're speechless. Like, there's really not a lot to say. You almost have to sit around and wait for something to come up, because it's complete. It's full.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the truth. And I haven't read the entire Bible yet. I'm kind of new to this, but I have found so many examples of Jesus and his very words in the Old Testament, to the point where it stops me when I'm reading. Like I just, like it gets stamped into me, like deep. I'll read a passage. Jonathan being pursued by Saul. He's being pursued by Saul, and he makes a covenant, right? With who's make the covenant?
David.
With David. Sorry, I'm just a little bit nervous right now, but they make a covenant, and the covenant is based on their love for one another, right? They promise to protect each other and look out for each other and their people forever and ever, based on that they love each other as they wish to be loved by others. And like, this is, I don't know, how 1,000, 1,500 years before Jesus says, love one another as you wish to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many examples in the Old Testament. And like, just the power of it when you're, like I said, when you're sitting with fellow believers and you're just reading it to each other. It's like reading us, like we all read to our kids, right? There's a value in reading to your kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're small and things like that. And reading the, I believe truly that reading the Bible aloud to amongst fellow believers is like, there's, you can't do anything better for your faith. You just can't. It just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'm addicted. Like, I wake up Tuesday mornings and I know exactly what I'm doing at 6:30 that night. It's the only thing during the week that I don't have to write down, remember, I've got to do this. It's like, it's better than any TV show. It's better than any whatever. Like, it's just, at least for me.
And it's good, yeah. And we need to prioritize this. It's good, you know?
Yes.
Like what you said, okay, Tuesday night, nothing else going to happen, right? Or prioritize even in the morning. You know, do I get up this extra time earlier, or do I really need to lie in bed, you know? And it's always good, the illustration, it's good to talk to the captain before the ship leaves the harbor, right? So to talk to him, okay, where are you taking me today? And give me instruction today. Because so many times, you know, we're busy throughout the day and in the evening we're tired, or the whole day of information is kind of whizzing through our head. But in the morning when we're still, when the kids are not running around in the house, you know, when you're settled kind of thing, that's when I find it's the best. But it's different for everybody, right? So, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Just be part of this reading has been just powerful and so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I find at home when I read the scriptures out loud with no humans around,
mm-hmm.
that the whole atmosphere inside the home changes for the much for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And in praising the Lord and reading His word out loud, I have actually sensed causing demons to flee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good.
I'd just like to give one example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm falling in love with you. I'm in love with you, Lord. And he said, of course you would be Candace. John is my love letter into the church. Mm-hmm.
And I just like, that's what we all want, by spending time in the Word, whether it's a reading or a time on our own or spending time in the concordance or going to a woman's Bible study. The whole idea is to fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And have that quickening, exciting feeling when we get up in the morning of knowing we're in love with our Lord,
mm-hmm.
our Savior, our Redeemer, our mm-hmm. whatever, you know, all of Him. And that's what I think that we're really longing for. And how can we not want it? Once we've experienced, how can we not want to spend more time there with the one who first loved us?
Yeah.
That we could even know and figure out to love Him back. So for me, that's what spending time in the Word is reaping that benefit. Because mm-hmm. you know, you're right. We feed our bodies, you know, like steak and eggs and bacon and all kinds of good stuff. And we feed our minds with TV and books and all kinds of stuff. And then we say to our spirit, a light snack will do for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's pretty what it's about.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it any better, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
The scriptures also are not just a reading, but it is also a call to action. An action of learning, an action of growth, an action of giving boxes to the children, an investment in their future, in these other lands. It's interesting, but God's word is so powerful that it's called the living word, and it is very relevant for our lives, I think. It's so important that we can draw on these different things in the Word at a time when we need it, whether it is for a miracle, whether it is for calling a loved one to the Lord, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that the Word is.
Good. Well, I think there's lots of testimony going around of where God is working, and I hope that those of you who are feeling like, oh man, I'm lacking, that's maybe God's challenge for you today to make this starting of make this a prayer. It's like, God, I want to walk in your word, but again, it needs to be him doing it, right? Because we can now all leave here and say, okay, I'm gonna get at it, right? And in a week from now, or maybe even less, or maybe a little bit more, or maybe down in the same old slump kind of thing, or getting too tired in the morning, it needs to be him who initiates it. And he initiated this relationship with us first. He has all the interest that we would respond to his love. And one of those ways of how we can do it is to be in his love letter. And then, yeah, he will make it alive. And have him show you maybe when it's a good time, or maybe show you a friend that maybe comes alongside that you can share. Maybe a Bible study, whatever it is. I think there's been lots of things shared this morning. But ponder those things and make his word more relevant in your lives. So, okay, why don't we just close in prayer together? If some of you want to lead out and others close at the very end, does that work? Do you do that sometimes? Yeah? If a few of you want to lead out and I'll close at the end, that would be great.
Share amongst fellow believers today. And thank you for bringing Ralph again and getting here safely and just in time. Thank you for all your provision, for what you allow us to do for others, for ourselves. I ask, Lord, that you strengthen us all and lead us all, keep our paths brightly lit and straight towards you, Lord, in every day. Give us the courage to reach out beyond our own journey with you to touch others that we come into contact with in our daily lives. And ask this in Jesus' name.
Thank you that you speak, Father. Thank you for your kindness. Giving us word and spirit, example in our Jesus, life with one another. I ask you to speak. Speak to me this week. Speak through me this week. Cause us to hear. We're always empty-handed. We're always needy. You're always giving. So we ask that you give us ears to hear you this week. Grant that we would receive from you that which would cause us to reflect back your excellence even more. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for your word, how you protected it. And we are so fortunate to have so many copies. We pray for those who are crying out to have a Bible. us not only to speak to you, but to listen to you too, Lord. I know it's one of my weaknesses. I like to talk and not listen. Forgive me, and let us praise you for being the God that you are. You're so wonderful. It's beyond my understanding. Thank you.
Well, I thank you for your word, that it is consistent, that it's truth, that does not need to be altered to 21st century, but it needs to be applied in our lives today. Thank you for making it alive by your Holy Spirit. And so I pray, Father, for those of us in the room who do struggle, who only maybe hear once a week, Father, we would be awakened this morning and being challenged this morning to change that. Sometimes that's just very practical things of just making those choices, to get up earlier or to cut out this time or to turn off the phone or the computer and to just sit and being rewarded by you by spending the time with you. Well, thank you for those who are active in this community, who do read your word, who have seen the blessings, and who are being used by you sharing your word. Thank you for all the promises we have in there. It's not a book full of laws, but it's a book full of life, full of promises, and they're all a yes in you. And so, Father, I pray that we would embrace it, that we would read it, and come to you to make it alive in us. And to thank you, Father, for speaking, and that Jesus, you're the living word that came into the world. And so we want to abide in you and want to walk with you, because only you have the words of eternal life. And we have this eternal life. And so we thank you for walking before us this next week, for going with us. It's a promise, one of those ones that we don't have to ask for, but you promise to be with us every moment of every day. And so help us to not neglect your presence, but to fully abide in it, to give thanks for it, and to live out whatever you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen.